Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. The truth of God, the love of God, the hope of God, the plan of God, and all of those things are in the Bible. You see, the Bible is the Word of God to tell us what God is doing, when God is doing it, how God is doing it, what He has done in the past, how people have responded to God, how they have not responded to God, what is truth, what is a lie, what is a sin, what is not a sin, and how then we can establish a relationship with God the way that God wants through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now then, we've been talking about Easter. And Easter is one of those days that the world's Christianity celebrates as a high holy day. And if you're a good Catholic or a good Protestant, you can go to Christmas services and Easter services. And if you give enough money, you can get a dispensation for all the rest of the year. But how did it come about that there is such a thing as Easter sunrise services? And how could that thing come about when God says, you shall have no other gods before me, and you shall not make any graven image of any likeness of anything that's in heaven above? That's the sun, the stars, the moon, or that is on the earth, or that is in the waters under the earth, and you shall not bow yourself down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of those that hate me, and showing mercy to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. Now that's the whole second commandment, which if you will check in any Catholic catechism book, is totally removed. It's still in the Catholic Bible, because they didn't dare cut it out of that. So if you're supposedly a good Catholic, why don't you ask your priest, why did they do away with the second commandment? Well, the truth is, you don't even have to ask them. Look at all the idols they have. And so in order to keep 10 commandments, they took the 10th commandment and made it 2. The Catholic Church has done that over and over again with so many things. It's unreal. And Easter, they admit, is a convergence of various heathen traditions applied to Jesus' death and his resurrection. Why not the truth about Jesus' death and resurrection? Why not the truth that he was in the grave 3 days and three nights? Why not the truth that he was crucified on the Passover day, the day that God determined would be the day of crucifixion from the foundation of the world? Why are you not told the truth about the holidays of this world and the holy days of God? Now, I was watching on the History Channel about a priest who had, in order to escape charges of pedophilia, fled to South America, and then the Catholic Church officials sent him over the mountains from Bolivia or Peru down into the jungles where there are these Indian tribes that hardly anyone even knows that they exist. But with today's video cameras and things, someone from the National Geographic went on down there to film how they converted these Indians from their former headhunting, cannibalistic ways to now being nice and moderate and good Catholics. Well, what the priest did, he took all of their days of celebration and worked them into a Catholic celebration. So instead of doing it to their head-hunting God, they did it to Jesus. Isn't that lovely? And instead of going out and killing people, now they would just cast spells upon them, and they even did that in the name of Jesus. Now let me read you a quote here. Koster says this, Festivals were celebrated by pagans with the rites of Adonis or Tammuz, and we saw that in one of our earlier segments, and also with Christianity. Dead and risen Messiah being assimilated to pagan celebration of the dead and risen Adonis. Have you ever read the book The Golden Bough by Sir George James Frazer? Probably never even heard of it. Now, we've got online The Two Babylons by Alexander Hislop. Now, you can download that book free, proving that papal worship is the worship of Nimrod and his wife Semiramis. And you will be astonished at all of these practices that are celebrated in the Catholic Church and in the Protestant churches all come from ancient Babylon. Easter does. Christmas does. Lent does. So here's what Sir George James Frazer wrote. He says, "When we reflect on how often the Church has skillfully contrived to plant the seeds of the new Christian faith on the old stock of paganism, we may surmise that the Easter celebration of the dead and risen Messiah were grafted upon a similar celebration of the dead and risen Adonis. Taken all together, the coincidences of the Christian with the heathen festivals are too close and too numerous to be accidental. They mark the compromise which the Church was compelled to make to bring in new converts." Really? That's not what God says. Let's come here and let's see something very important concerning the Word of God. Now, it may sound like, oh, this ecumenism is wonderful. That's what they're trying to do again today. See, but you need to realize all of these practices, God says, are an abomination. And someone's going to say, boy, you sure been hard on them. Well, you want to meet Christ face to face, and he asks you, what have you been doing? Oh, but these were so nice, Lord. Really? Notice what God says. God is God. He's creator. He's given you life and breath and everything that you can live and move and breathe and have your being in all comes from God. That's what he told the children of Israel. He said, I'm going to bring you into a land that's beautiful, wonderful, just like it was in America. You know, and what do we have in our Constitution? We have brought in God's name, and whenever you bring in God's name, God is going to judge you. And we say we live by the Bible, but we reject it. God is going to judge us and is judging us, and that's what's wrong with America today and the whole world besides. So God said, you go in there. Verse 30, Deuteronomy 12. Here's a warning. Take heed to yourselves that you do not become ensnared by following them after they are destroyed from before you, and that you do not ask about their God, saying, how did these nations serve their gods, that I may also do likewise? Oh, that's a wonderful thing. Let's have it. Verse 31. Now, I want you to listen carefully. I want you to think about it. I want you to put away all your hostilities. And I want you to put away any hard feelings you may have against me personally because of bringing this to you. All right? I'm not against you. I'm for you. But if you are against God and doing things that God says not to do, should I stand by and let you continue to do it? Or should I warn you that God is going to judge you? Notice the warning here. God says, verse 31, you shall not do so to the Lord your God, for every abomination of the Lord which he hates, they have done to their gods, even their sons and their daughters, they burned in the fire to their gods. Whatsoever thing that I command you, be careful to do it, you shall not add to it, nor take away from it. Isn't that exactly what they're doing with these pagan practices? Yes, indeed. You might say, well, we're not burning our children to the fire. You ever heard of Planned Parenthood? Mm-hmm. Murderers, killers, the worst of women, saying it's a right for a mother to kill her own child right in her womb so she can have sex. Oh, she's liberated. look at what that has done. And God is judging us for it. And we have killed 55 million in America. Let's come back here to Matthew, the fifth chapter. Let's see what Jesus said. Now, as you're going back to Matthew, the fifth chapter, let me remind you that the one who became Jesus Christ was the one who was the Lord God of the Old Testament. And Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he says there in the book of Malachi, I, the Lord, change not. You go to church and you hear that nice, sweet, little purring minister up there tell you, oh, the law has been done away. And oh, let's have a wonderful Easter celebration. And let's have a wonderful Eucharist and sacrifice of the Mass while we bow down to these idols. Listen, I want to tell you straight out, no priest has the power to command Jesus Christ to put his flesh and blood in the so-called host of the sacrifice of the Mass. God will never obey a man and associate himself with such a pagan observance. That is satanic and it is demonic. It's exactly what it is. God says, for those who are Christ, for those who have repented and have been baptized, that they should partake of the Passover on the Passover day according to the calculated Hebrew calendar in the way and manner and time that Jesus Christ said. Matthew 5 and verse 17, Jesus said, do not think. Now, what does that mean when he says do not think? That means don't let it enter into your mind. See? Don't become a pea brain and become stupid. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets, and isn't that what you hear from the pulpit? Law has been done away. We have been liberated from the law. Well, what has all that lawlessness done for our country and the world? Destroyed it. God lays it right at the footsteps of all these sanctimonious pretenders called ministers and preachers. And I know someone's going to say, Fred Kohler, why don't you get off coming after all those ministers all the time? Well, if they're the ones who are really causing the problem, which the Bible says they are, and there are millions of them and there's only one of me, didn't come to abolish, Jesus says, but to fulfill. And that means fill, to make it full, to bring the full spiritual application of the law and commandments. See? Not to go out and adopt pagan ways, not to go out and do quaint little things, not to have sun worship. Now, we're going to see about sun worship here in just a minute, because God said, you shall not do as they do, and do that to me. So he says, for truly I say to you, until heaven and earth shall pass away, one jot or one tittle shall in no way pass away from the law until everything has been fulfilled. See, God says you shall not add to or take away from. What does it say back there in the book of Revelation, Revelation 22? Anyone who takes away any of the words out of the prophecy of this book, and that is to be applied to the whole Bible, God says, I'm going to take your name out of the book of life. And if anyone will add to the words of the prophecy of this book, which is the whole Bible, he will add to you all the plagues that are written in this book. And that's Jesus Christ speaking the fate to those who disbelieve him. All right, let's come over here to Matthew, the seventh chapter. Let's see about the words of Jesus. We are to live by every word of God. We are to live by the sound words of Jesus Christ. We are to love God and keep his commandments. All right? Now, do you do that? Or do you like a religion that just makes you feel good? Or do you have something which makes you a good person in the world? Now, it's nice to be a good person in the world. But that's not the question. How do you stand before God? Because God expects everyone to be nice in the world by keeping his commandments in the letter of the law. Now notice what Jesus says here. Verse 26, Matthew 7. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not practice them shall be compared to a foolish man. Are you wise or foolish? What does he say about the wise? Verse 24, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and practices them, do you practice them? Do you live by them? Isn't that what Jesus said when he was tempted of Satan the devil, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God shall man live? Do you do that? Do you practice that? And those words is magnified and brought to the full spiritual meaning by the teachings of Jesus Christ and the apostles. That's what we're to do. Do you do that? Is that your desire? If not, then ask yourself the question, why am I religious? Why do I believe in God? Because 92% of people say they believe in God, but less than one-tenth of one ten-thousandth of a percent obey Him. Well, I keep the commandments I agree with. That's not what God said. I will compare him to a wise man who built his house upon the rock, and the rain came down, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, but it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Is that you? Do you study the Word of God to know the words of Jesus? Do you know what He's commanded? Do you know what He has said? Do you know how we are to live? Do you know what He says concerning the Sabbath, that He's Lord of it, that we need to keep it? Do you know that He is our Passover crucified for us for the forgiveness of sin, and that we are to repent and be baptized and keep the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread? And the Feast of Pentecost and Trumpets and Atonement and Tabernacles and the Last Great Day, you're probably out there, what is he talking about? Well, if you don't know what I'm talking about, it proves a very important point. You haven't read your Bible. And you don't believe your Bible. But you want God to bless you without believing him? You want God to bless you when you don't keep his words? Here's what God says is going to happen. He says you're foolish. Because you built your house upon sand. A lot of people think they're safe. I saw a report on the flood back in Wisconsin a year ago. And it rained and rained and rained and rained. The winds blew. The rain came. And there was a big dam back up of the river. And they came and warned everyone, get out. The dam is going to break. Sure enough, the dam broke. And all of those houses, beautiful houses, some were close to the riverbank, some were far from the riverbank, but that sandy soil is so weak and saturated that when that water came in a 20-foot wall down through the river channel, it widened the river so much it was unbelievable. And the houses came crashing down and floating down the river. And the owner stood there gaping and looking at it. And one man said, I never thought I would see that happen to my house. But what about your spiritual house? What about your relationship with God? Do you go along and compromise and accommodate? Let me read you something here. From the Encyclopedia Americana, what it says about Easter. It is derived from the Norse Ostara or Oster, meaning the festival of spring, when nature is in resurrection after winter, hence the rabbits, noble for their fertility, and the eggs, colored like rays of the returning sun. According to the Catholic Encyclopedia, a great many pagan customs celebrating the return of spring gravitated to Easter. The rabbit is a pagan symbol and has always been an emblem of fertility. They know what they are doing. And how many millions believe their lies? Alexander Hislop says that Easter is not a Christian name. It bears the Chaldean origin on its very forehead. Easter is nothing more than Astarte, the Queen of Heaven. My! What does that have to do with Christ? Nothing. What does God say about it? It is an abomination. Well, let me tell you something. With Easter coming up here now, and you think you're going to get dressed up in your best and you're going to go out and have sunrise services? Climb to a high hill so you can see the sunrise? Let's see what God says about worshiping the sun. Now, you would think that just like people do today, they take a pagan practice and they Christianize it, and then they say, well, God accepts this. Well, the children of Israel did the same thing back in the days of when the temple was there, before its first destruction. They brought in all of the pagan practices. And who is the one that really started a lot of it at the temple? Solomon, the son of David. That's another whole story. The other kings of Judah did the same thing. So they thought as long as they did it at the temple of God, it was sanctified. No different than people saying today, well, we know it's a pagan origin, but the church has sanctified it. Really? God says, don't do these things to him. God calls them abominations. Let's read it here. After talking about the weeping, the women weeping for Tammuz, he says, Ezekiel 8 and verse 15, and he said to me, have you seen this, O son of man? You shall see greater abominations than these. And he brought me into the inner court of the Lord's house, and behold, at the opening of the temple of the Lord between the porch and altar were about 25 men with their backs toward the temple of the Lord and their faces toward the east, and they worshiped the sun toward the east. Do you go to church on Sunday? That is Baal's day. Sabbath is the Lord's day. And you'll find even Sabbath-keeping churches have a lot of paganism in them. So that's why you have to prove all things. Because a lot of people, when they hear the truth, they say, oh, is there a church around here that I can attend? Listen, church attendance is not the thing to do immediately, let me tell you. First, you've got to get your life right with God. First, you've got to prove these things. Then you have to repent. Then you have to start keeping the commandments of God. Then you have to come to the point that you're ready for baptism. And then you're ready for church attendance outside of the home, because that's why we have church at home. The world is in such confusion, you've got to get all of that confusion out of your life first. How long are you going to be torn between two opinions? You know what Jesus Christ said? He says, I tell you, unless you repent, you're going to likewise perish. We're living in difficult days. The judgment of God is upon us. You want the judgment of God to be lifted from you? Then you better turn to God and start doing His will. Start finding out what the Bible is really teaching. Now, I know that these are difficult things to talk about, but this is the reality of the truth of the Bible. And these are the things that you need to understand. These are the things you need to prove. Have you been deceived and been in a church and gone along with all of these things? Think about your life. Now, you may consider yourself a good and wonderful person and not a real wretched sinner. Well, even wretched sinners, they have to come to a point that they understand what being a wretched sinner is. But as long as you are not keeping the commandments of God and doing what God says, you're not doing good. You may not be out there committing violent crimes, but that doesn't make you a good person. Only goodness can come from God and His ways. So once again, I want to thank you for inviting me into your home. Remember, we have many articles you can download right here on Church at Home. We have cbcg.org, where we have hundreds and hundreds of sermons. And for those interested in prophecy, we have a whole package of detailed sermons about what's happening in the world and how things are going to work out. And we are getting closer and closer and closer to the very edge of the collapse of this nation and its dollar and the whole financial system in the world. And you need to go to cbcg.org and download those sermons. So until next time, this is Fred Colter saying, so long, everyone.